statements. And as we said yesterday, it is Shastra, it is by scriptures that we back the appearance of an incarnation. And there is some psychology, it is the psychology of the people. We can see it is true that some strange psychology that we believe, people in general, it's easy to believe that many, many thousands of years ago, there might be saints, there might have been saints, and also that God may have appeared. But as we go in time up to our days, the closer we come to our days, it's more difficult to believe that there was a saint or an incarnation of God. I heard once that statement that as soon as a man disappears, that's in the karmic world, they say like this, as soon as a man disappears, whatever he says or he said becomes important. If you say, as the late such and such said, then whatever he said, that people take it very seriously, at least more seriously than you say of someone present. So this is, of course, some kind of psychology. It does affect, it may seem strange, but it does have some truth in it. And when we think, when we tell people that while Columbus was discovering America and around those times, there appeared an incarnation, or there was an incarnation of Krishna, of God in the world, sounds a little bit amazing because it's so close, and especially they haven't heard. Of course, we suppose that if there was an incarnation of God, then it would be recorded in all history, especially so close to us, 500 years ago. So this brings to us the fact very clearly on how, and this follows a little bit what we were saying yesterday, we understand from the scientists so many things about this world, and from scholars, materialist scholars, we receive so much information. But actually, this is not the way we see. And of course, it takes a long time, and we must pray and endeavor to come to that level, not to believe with the eyes, not to have to see. We do not see through these eyes, and that's I'm speaking of material eyes, logically. And all our philosophy is based on this. This is a very important point in all our spiritual life, that we believe through sound vibration. The knowledge, as I was saying the other day in the Gita class, is conveyed by sound, is there in sound. So our books, and it's transported in these books, that sound is contained in these books. All these books, Shastra, is full of these sounds, just like the musical box. And you open it and immediately the sound is there. So this is the same case. All the sound vibrations now for Kali Yuga are contained in the form of books. And we should open them and decodify them and make them sound vital sound again, life sound. So, Shastra, Shabda Brahma is our proof. And it's something difficult. We are so much accustomed to these, to accept by perception, by the material perception. And in our spiritual life, this has no place, really, next to sound vibration. Of course, we are all working with these material senses, so we are trying to purify them. Atasiri Krishna Namadi. We are trying to purify these senses. But still, the most important perception is through sound. And that's the important thing in today's reading, that we will see, we will hear, we will listen to Kaviraj Goswami, Krishna Das, saying things like, Krishna was thinking such and such. And this makes these statements very significant, because it is such a serious book. One thing is to read science fiction, something that we know it's a concoction from someone, and you know, we accept that he can say anything there, God said or whatever. But when we come to such a serious, important literature as Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, and especially that we have to accept it as the highest literature above all the Vedas written 5,000 years ago, and this was just written 500 years ago, and its position is supreme. So it does require that we accept this principle of revelation, this principle of the importance of sound vibration, and that the proof of anything in our philosophy comes through this sound vibration, and the sound vibration is descending in the cyclic succession. This revelation is in one sense coming through one source, and as in the first chapter of Adilila, today we're reading from Adilila, but from second chapter on. In the first chapter of Adilila, it is explained how this one source is communicating this knowledge, this revelation to us. So Kaviraj Goswami, he had both these revelations. That means one revelation in twofold. What, revelation is Guru. This is how the information descends, by Guru. And as we were reading in second canto recently, in a small meeting, we were reading a quote from the Bhagavatam. Second, in the purport, Prabhupada says that we have to receive this knowledge, this sound vibration, by the current link in the cyclic succession. So that means that at every moment there is the cyclic succession. It never stops. The cyclic succession is continuously there. That is its value, and it's more valuable than anything else. We were saying yesterday that last night we were having a Spanish Gita class, and the foolishness of the materialist is they're trying to understand what happened thousands and millions of years ago with what they're seeing today. And this is completely foolish. It's just as if for the first time they show you a tree, fully blown up, fully grown tree. And from there, you had to draw what the seed looked like. Or it's just like recently there have been some earthquakes. So just imagine that after you heard of the earthquakes, they take an architect over there to one of the completely destroyed buildings, and they tell him he has to again draw what the building looked like and what the colors of the walls were, and like that every single aspect of that building. So in the same way, this is basically what's happened. This material world is in constant change, and there is no hope that by looking at it now we can trace out things that happened so many millions and millions of years ago. But they believe in these things, and they also think they can predict the future in the same way. But it's we may leave that as a debatable thing and controversial point. For us, it's very clear anyway, but let's leave it aside. The main point is whether that is a good way to analyze an olden thing is very controversial. But the true thing is that if someone who is there at a moment communicates what happened there, and that continues being transmitted, then that for sure we know is a truly description of what happened. And that is the basis of our philosophy. So this revelation of all the things that happened in the past, and the beginning from creation on, and even before that, of all the pastimes in the spiritual world, which are eternal, descend by one source. And that's the meaning of Guru is one. That one source is Guru, and it's twofold. That Guru is manifest within as Paramatma, and externally as the current link in the cyclic succession. So that's our understanding. And Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, he received this knowledge in both ways, through his personal revelation, just as he had some dreams with Nityananda Prabhu, right? In the beginning of Chaitanya Charitamrita, this is described. And we don't know how I personally don't know how many other revelations, but he definitely had so many revelations beginning in Chaitanya Charitamrita from the first chapter. And the second way is he received Sri Rupa Raghunatha Pade Yara Ash Chaitanya Charitamrita Kahe Krishna Das. That at the end of every chapter he explains how he's receiving the mercy of his spiritual masters, and it is known how he received so much information from Raghunath Das Goswami especially, and the other Goswamis and other associates of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and the notes left by them. So today's verse, we can quickly read it again. Itam nitirya rishideva jasavatarair lokan vibhavayasihamsi jagat paratipan dharmam mahapurushapasi yuganuvritam chana kalo yadavavastri yugotasatvam. So this is Prahlad Maharaj saying, in this way, my Lord, you appear in various incarnations as a human being, an animal, a great saint, a demigod, a fish, or a tortoise, thus maintaining the entire creation in different planetary systems and killing the demoniac principles. According to the age, O my Lord, you protect the principles of religion. In the age of Kali, however, you do not assert yourself as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and therefore you are known as Triyuga, or the Lord who appears in three yugas. So as a purport to this verse today, we will read from first canto, third chapter, text 26. Just a small purport. The chapter is Krishna is the source of all incarnations, and Prabhupada again mentions this verse that today we're reading. The translation of the Sanskrit is, O Brahmanas, the incarnations of the Lord are innumerable, like rivulets flowing from inexhaustible sources of water. Purport. The list of incarnations of the Personality of Godhead given herein is not complete. It is only a partial view of all the incarnations. There are many others, such as Sri Hayagriva, Hari, Hamsa, Pishnigarbha, Bibhu, Satyasena, Vaikuntha, Sarvabhauma, Vishwaksena, Dharmasetu, Sudama, Yogeshwar, Brihadbanu, and others of the bygone ages. Sri Prahlad Maharaj said in his prayer, this is the verse, my Lord, you manifest as many incarnations as there are species of life, namely the aquatics, the vegetables, the reptiles, the birds, the beasts, the men, the demigods, etc. Just for the maintenance of the faithful and the annihilation of the unfaithful. You advent yourself in this way in accordance with the necessity of the different yugas. In the Kali Yuga, you have incarnated garbed as a devotee. This incarnation of the Lord in the Kali Yuga is Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. There are many other places, both in the Bhagavatam and in other scriptures, in which the incarnation of the Lord as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is explicitly mentioned. In the Brahma Samhita also it is said directly that although there are many incarnations of the Lord, such as Rama, Nishimha, Varaha, Matsya, Kurma, and many others, the Lord himself sometimes incarnates in person. Lord Krishna and Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu are not therefore incarnations, but the original source of all other incarnations. So Chaitanya Charitamrita, Adilila, chapter 2. That Govinda personally appears as Chaitanya Goshani. No other Lord is as merciful in delivering the fallen souls. Purport. So now Srila Prabhupada will mention so many quotes from different Shastras, very old Shastra in time, that support the appearance, support the fact that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Purport. Having described Govinda in terms of his Brahman and Paramatma features, now the author of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita advances his argument to prove that Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the identical personality. The same Lord Sri Krishna, in the garb of a devotee of Sri Krishna, descended to this mortal world to reclaim the fallen human beings who had misunderstood the Personality of Godhead, even after the explanation of Bhagavad Gita. In Bhagavad Gita, the personality of Godhead Sri Krishna directly instructed that the Supreme is a person. Impersonal Brahman is his glowing effulgence, Paramatma is his partial representation, and all men are therefore advised to follow the path of Sri Krishna, leaving aside all mundane isms. Offenders misunderstood this instruction, however, because of their poor fund of knowledge. Thus, by his causeless unlimited mercy, Sri Krishna came again as Sri Chaitanya Gosani. The author of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita most emphatically stresses that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Sri Krishna himself. He is not an expansion of the Prakash or Vilas forms of Sri Krishna. He is the Swayam Rupa Govinda. Apart from the relevant scriptural evidence forwarded by Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, there are innumerable statements regarding Lord Chaitanya's being the Supreme Lord himself. The following examples may be cited. 1. From the Chaitanya Upanishad. This was discovered in the Atharva Veda by Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. It was presented to us by Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, what's called the Chaitanya Upanishad. Gauro Sarvatma Mahapurusho Mahatma Mahayogi Triguna Atita Satrupa Bhaktim Lokika Ashati. Lord Gaura, who is the all-pervading Supersoul, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, appears as a great saint and powerful mystic who is above the three modes of nature and is the emblem of transcendental activity. He disseminates the cult of devotion throughout the world. 2. From the Svetashvatara Upanishad. Tam Isharanam Paramam Maheshwaram Tam Devatanam Paramam Chadaivatam. O Supreme Lord, you are the Supreme Maheshwar, the worshipable deity of all the demigods and the Supreme Lord of all lords. You are the controller of all controllers, the personality of Godhead, the Lord of everything worshipable. Mahan Prabhur, from the same Upanishad, Mahan Prabhur Vaipurusha Sattva Syaisha Pravartaka. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is Mahaprabhu, who disseminates transcendental enlightenment. Just to be in touch with Him is to be in contact with indestructible Brahma Jyoti. Third, from the Mundaka Upanishad, Yadapashyapashyate Rukma Varnam Kartaram Isham Purusham Brahma Yonim. One who sees the golden-colored Personality of Godhead, the Supreme Lord, the Supreme Actor, who is the source of the Supreme Brahman, is liberated. 4. From Srimad Bhagavatam. Dhyeyam sada paribhavagnam abhishtadoham tirtashpadam shivavirinchinutam sharanyam vrityartiham pranatapala bhavad vipottam vande mahapurushate charanaravindam. We offer our respectful obeisances unto the lotus feet of Him, the Lord, upon whom one should always meditate. He destroys insults to His devotees. He removes the distresses of His devotees and satisfies their desires. He, the abode of all holy places and the shelter of all sages, is worshipable by Lord Shiva and Lord Brahma. He is the boat of the demigods for crossing the ocean of birth and death. Tyaktva sudusyaja surepshita ruja lakshmin, raja lakshmin, dharmishta arya vachasa yad agad aranyam, maya miganda yita pepsitam an vadavad, vande maha purushate charanaravindam. We offer our respectful obeisances unto the lotus feet of the Lord, upon whom one should always meditate. He left His householder life, leaving aside His eternal consort, whom even the denizens of heaven adore. He went into the forest to deliver the fallen souls, who are put into illusion by material energy. Prahlad said, Itam niritiryag rishideva javasatarair lokam vibhavayasihamsi jagat pratipan. Dharmam maha purusha pasi yuganavritam chana kalo yadabhavastri yugotasatvam. My Lord, you kill all the enemies of the world in your multifarious incarnations in the families of men, animals, demigods, rishis, aquatics, and so on. Thus, you illuminate the world with transcendental knowledge. In the age of Kali, O Mahapurusha, you sometimes appear in a covered incarnation. Therefore, you are known as Triyuga, one who appears in only three yugas. 5. From the Krishna Yamal, Punya Chetri Navadvipe Bhavishyami Sachi Sutta. I shall appear in the holy land of Navadvip as the son of Sachi Devi. 6. From the Vayu Purana, Kalo Sankirtana Rambe Bhavishyami Sachi Sutta. In the age of Kali, when the Sankirtan movement is inaugurated, I shall descend as the son of Sachidevi. From the Brahma Yamala, Atavaham Daradhami Bhutamad Bhaktarupadrik. Sometimes I personally appear on the surface of the world in the garb of a devotee. Specifically, I appear as the son of Sachi in Kali Yuga to start the Sankirtan movement. 8. From the Ananta Samhita, Yaeva Bhagavan Krishna Radhika Pranavalava Shristya Dau Sajagannato Gaura Asin Maheshwari. The Supreme Person, Sri Krishna Himself, who is the life of Sri Radharani and is the Lord of the universe in creation, maintenance and annihilation, appears as Gaura, O Maheshwari. Lord Krishna, the son of the king of Raja, is the Supreme Lord. He eternally enjoys transcendental pastimes in his eternal abode, Goloka, which includes Rajadham. In the previous chapter, this is purport. In the previous chapter, it has been established that Krishna, the son of Rajendra, the king of Raja, is the Supreme Personality of Godhead with six opulences. He eternally enjoys transcendentally variegated opulences on his planet, which is known as Goloka. The eternal pastimes of the Lord in the spiritual planet Krishna Loka are called aprakata, or unmanifested pastimes, because they are beyond the purview of the conditioned souls. Lord Krishna is always present everywhere, but when he is not present before our eyes, he is said to be aprakata, or unmanifested. So we'll have now also the opportunity, while we are learning the reasons for the appearance of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, also to learn from the purports of many general information, important information, about the incarnations of Krishna in general. We always have so many questions, like when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appears in what Kali Yuga, whether he appears in all Kali Yugas and like that. So some of these things will be answered in the purports by Prabhupada. Once in a day of Brahma, he, Krishna, descends to this world to manifest his transcendental pastimes. We know that there are four yugas, namely, four ages or yugas, namely Satya, Treta, Dwapar and Kali. These four together comprise one Divya Yuga. 71 Divya Yugas constitute one Manvantara. There are 14 Manvantars in one day of Brahma. The present Manu, who is the seventh, is called Vaivaswata, the son of Vivaswan. 27 Divya Yugas of this age have now passed. At the end of the Dwapar Yuga, of the 28th Divya Yuga, Lord Krishna appears on earth with the full paraphernalia of his eternal Vrajadham. Purport. Now is the term of Vaivaswata Manu, during which Lord Chaitanya appears. First, Lord Krishna appears at the close of the Dwapar Yuga of the 28th Divya Yuga. And then Lord Chaitanya appears in the Kali Yuga of the same Divya Yuga. Very interesting. First, Lord Krishna appears at the close of the Dwapar Yuga of the 28th Divya Yuga. And then Lord Chaitanya appears in the Kali Yuga of the same Divya Yuga. Lord Krishna and Lord Chaitanya appear once in each day of Brahma, or once in 14 Manvantars, each of 71 Divya Yugas in duration. From the beginning of Brahma's day of 4,320,000,000 years, six Manus appear and disappear before Lord Krishna appears. Thus, 1,975,320,000 years of the day of Brahma elapse before the appearance of Lord Krishna. This is an astronomical calculation according to solar years. Servitude, dasya, friendship, sakya, parental affection, vatsalya, and conjugal love, shringar, are the four transcendental mellows, rasas. By the devotees who cherish these four mellows, Lord Krishna is subdued. Absorbed in such transcendental love, Lord Sri Krishna enjoys in Vraja with his devoted servants, friends, parents, and conjugal lovers. Lord Krishna enjoys his transcendental pastimes as long as he wishes, and then he disappears. After disappearing, however, he thinks thus. For a long time I have not bestowed unalloyed loving service to me upon the inhabitants of the world. Without such loving attachment, the existence of the material world is useless.
Everywhere in the world, people worship me according to scriptural injunctions. But simply by following such regulative principles, one cannot attain the loving sentiments of the devotees in Brajabhumi. Knowing my opulences, the whole world looks upon me with awe and veneration. But devotion, made feeble by such reverence, does not attract me. Purport. After his appearance, Lord Krishna thought that he had not distributed the transcendental personal dealings with his devotees in Dasya, Sakya, Vatsalya, and Madhurya. One may understand the science of the Supreme Personality of Godhead from the Vedic literature and thus become a devotee of the Lord and worship Him within the regulative principles described in the scriptures. But one will not know in this way how Krishna is served by the residents of Brajabhumi. One cannot understand the dealings of the Lord in Vrindavan simply by executing the ritualistic regulative principles mentioned in the scriptures. By following scriptural injunctions, one may enhance his appreciation for the glories of the Lord, but there is no chance for one to enter personal dealings with Him. Giving too much attention to understanding the exalted glories of the Lord reduces the chance of one's entering personal loving affairs with the Lord. To teach the principles of such loving dealings, the Lord decided to appear as Lord Chaitanya. Next trick. By performing such regulated devotional service in awe and veneration, one may go to Vaikuntha and attain the four kinds of liberation. I shall personally inaugurate the religion of the age, Nama Sankirtan, the congregational chanting of the holy name. I shall make the world dance in ecstasy, realizing the four mellows of loving devotional service. I shall accept the role of a devotee, and I shall teach devotional service by practicing it myself. So now comes a very nice statement, significant statement. It struck me very much this time when I read this. Unless one practices devotional service himself, he cannot teach it to others. Very nice quote. Unless one practices devotional service himself, he cannot teach it to others. This conclusion is indeed confirmed throughout the Gita and Bhagavatam. Gita. Whenever and wherever there is a decline in religious practice, O descendant of Bharata, and a predominant rise of irreligion, at that time I descend. To deliver the pious and to annihilate the miscreants, as well as to reestablish the principles of religion, I myself appear millennium after millennium. If I did not show the proper principles of religion, all these worlds would fall into ruin. I would be a cause of unwanted population and would spoil all these living entities. Whatever actions a great man performs, common people follow. And whatever standards he sets by exemplary acts, all the world pursues. My plenary portions can establish the principles of religion for each age. No one but me, however, can bestow the kind of loving service performed by the residents of Vraja. There may be many all auspicious incarnations of the Personality of Godhead, but who other than Lord Sri Krishna can bestow love of God upon the surrendered souls? Therefore, in the company of my devotees, I shall appear on earth and perform various colorful pastimes. Thinking thus, the Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna Himself, descended at Nadia early in the age of Kali. Thus, the lion-like Lord Chaitanya has appeared in Navadvip. He has the shoulders of a lion, the powers of a lion, and the loud voice of a lion. Knowing Him, Lord Chaitanya, to be the incarnation for the Kali Yuga, Garga Muni, during the naming ceremony of Krishna, predicted His appearance. This boy, Krishna, has three other colors, white, red, and yellow, as He appears in different ages. Now He has appeared in a transcendental blackish color. White, red, and yellow, these are the three bodily lusters that the Lord, the husband of the goddess of fortune, assumes in the ages of Satya, Treta, and Kali, respectively. Now, in the Dwapar Yuga, the Lord had descended in a blackish hue. This is the essence of the statements in the Puranas and other Vedic literatures with reference to the context. Bhagavatam. In the Dwapar Yuga, the Personality of Godhead appears in a blackish hue. He is dressed in yellow. He holds his own weapons and he is decorated with the Kaustubha jewel and marks of Srivatsa. This is how his symptoms are described. This is a verse from Srimad Bhagavatam spoken by Saint Karabhajan, one of the nine royal mystics who explained to King Nimi the different features of the Lord in different ages. The religious practice for the age of Kali is to broadcast the glories of the Lord. In this age of Kali, the practical system of religion for everyone is the chanting of the name of Godhead. This was introduced in this age by Lord Chaitanya. Bhakti Yoga actually begins with the chanting of the holy name, as confirmed by Madhvacharya in his commentary on the Mundaka Upanishad. He quotes this verse from the Narayana Samhita, Dwapari Jair Janair Vishnu Pancharatra Tu Kevalai. In the Dwapar Yuga, people should worship Lord Vishnu only by the regulative principles of the Narada Pancharatra and other such authorized books. In the age of Kali, however, people should simply chant the holy names of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Hare Krishna mantra is specifically mentioned in many Upanishads, such as the Kali Santarana Upanishad. Sometimes people wonder where in the Vedic literature the Maha mantra is mentioned. Where it is said, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Iti Shodashakam Nam Nam Kali Kalmatanashanam Nata Parataro Paya Sarva Vedeshu Drishate. After searching through all the Vedic literature, one cannot find a method of religion more sublime for this age than the chanting of Hare Krishna. The luster of his expansive body resembles molten gold. The deep sound of his voice conquers the thundering of newly assembled clouds. One who measures 4 cubits in height and in breadth by his own hand is celebrated as a great personality. Such a person is called Niyagrodha Parimandala. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who personifies all good qualities, has the body of a Niyagrodha Parimandala. His arms are long enough to reach his knees. This is called Ajanulambita. His eyes are just like lotus flowers. His nose is like a sesame flower, and his face is as beautiful as the moon. He is peaceful, self-controlled, and fully devoted to the transcendental service of Lord Sri Krishna. He is affectionate toward his devotees. He is gentle, and he is equally disposed toward all living beings. He is decorated with sandalwood bangles and amulets, and anointed with the pulp of sandalwood. He specially wears these decorations to dance in Sri Krishna Sankirtan. Recording all these qualities of Lord Chaitanya, the sage Vaishampayana included his name in the Vishnu Sahasranam. The pastimes of Lord Chaitanya have 2 divisions, the early pastimes, Adilila, and later pastimes, Shesha Lila. He has 4 names in each of these 2 lilas. So now comes the verse of the Vishnu Sahasranam in Mahabharata. Suvarna Varno Himangu Varangas Chandanangadi. In his early pastimes, he appears as a householder with a golden complexion. His limbs are beautiful, and his body, smeared with the pulp of sandalwood, seems like molten gold. In his later pastimes, he accepts the sannyas order, and he is equipoised and peaceful. He is the highest abode of peace and devotion, for he silences the impersonalist non-devotees. This is a verse from the Mahabharata, Dana Dharma Vishnu Sahasranama Stotra. In his commentary on the Vishnu Sahasranama, called the Namarta Subhabidha, Srila Baladev Vidyabhushan, commenting upon this verse, asserts that Lord Chaitanya is the Supreme Personality of Godhead according to the evidence of the Upanishads. He explains that Suvarna Varna means a golden complexion. He also quotes the Vedic injunction, Yada Pashya Pashyate Rugma Varnam Kartaram Isham Purusham Brahma Yonim. Rukma Varnam Kartaram Isham refers to the Supreme Personality of Godhead as having a complexion the color of molten gold. Purusham means the Supreme Lord, and Brahma Yonim indicates that he is also the Supreme Brahman. This evidence too proves that Lord Chaitanya is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. Another meaning of the description of the Lord as having a golden hue is that Lord Chaitanya's personality is as fascinating as gold is attractive. Srila Baladev Vidyabhushan has explained that the word Varanga means exquisitely beautiful. Lord Chaitanya accepted sannyas, leaving aside his householder life to preach his mission. He has equanimity in different senses. First, he describes the confidential truth of the personality of Godhead, and second, he satisfies everyone by knowledge and attachment to Krishna. He is peaceful because he renounces all topics not related to the service of Krishna. Srila Baladev Vidyabhushan has explained that the word Nishta indicates his being rigidly fixed in chanting the holy name of Sri Krishna. Lord Chaitanya subdued all disturbing opponents of devotional service, especially the monists who are actually averse to the personal feature of the Supreme Lord. In Srimad Bhagavatam, it is repeatedly and clearly said that the essence of religion in the age of Kali is the chanting of the holy name of Krishna. So, to end, we will read two verses from Bhagavatam. O King, in this way people in Dwapar Yuga worship the Lord of the universe. In Kali Yuga they also worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead by the regulations of the revealed scriptures. Kindly now hear of that from me. And then comes a famous verse. Krishna Varnam Tuisha Krishnam Sangopangastra Parshadam Yagai Sankirtana Prajair Yayantihi Sumedasaha. In the age of Kali, intelligent persons perform congregational chanting to worship the incarnation of Godhead, who constantly sings the name of Krishna. The incarnation of Godhead who constantly sings the name of Krishna. Although his complexion is not blackish, he is Krishna himself. He is accompanied by his associates, servants, weapons, and confidential companions. Purport. This text is from Srimad Bhagavatam, 11.5.32. Srila Jiva Goswami has explained this verse in his commentary on the Bhagavatam known as the Krama Sandarbha, wherein he says that Lord Krishna also appears with a golden complexion. That golden Lord Krishna is Lord Chaitanya, who is worshipped by intelligent men in this age. That is confirmed in Srimad Bhagavatam by Garga Muni, who said that although the child Krishna was blackish, he also appears in three other colors, red, white, and yellow. He exhibited his white and red complexions in the Satya and Treta ages respectively. He did not exhibit the remaining color, yellow gold, until he appeared as Lord Chaitanya, who is known as Gaura Hari. Srila Jiva Goswami explained that Krishna Varna means Sri Krishna Chaitanya. Krishna Varna and Krishna Chaitanya are equivalent. The name Krishna appears with both Lord Krishna and Lord Chaitanya Krishna. Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but he always engages in describing Krishna and thus enjoying transcendental bliss by chanting and remembering his name and form. Lord Krishna himself appears as Lord Chaitanya to preach the highest gospel. Varnayati means utters or describes. Lord Chaitanya always chants the holy name of Krishna and describes it also. And because he is Krishna himself, whoever meets him will automatically chant the holy name of Krishna and later describe it to others. He injects one with transcendental Krishna consciousness, which merges the chanter in transcendental bliss. In all respects, therefore, he appears before everyone as Krishna, either by personality or by sound. Simply by seeing Lord Chaitanya, one at once remembers Lord Krishna. One may therefore accept him as Vishnu Tattva. In other words, Lord Chaitanya is Lord Krishna himself. Sangopangastra Parshadam further indicates that Lord Chaitanya is Lord Krishna. His body is always decorated with ornaments of sandalwood and with sandalwood paste. By his super excellent beauty, he subdues all the people of the age. In other descents, the Lord sometimes used weapons to defeat the demoniac. But in this age, the Lord subdues them with his all-attractive figure as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Srila Jiva Goswami explains that his beauty is his astra, or weapon, to subdue the demons. Because he is all-attractive, it is to be understood that all the demigods lived with him as his companions. His acts were uncommon and his associates wonderful. When he propagated the Sankirtan movement, he attracted many great scholars and acharyas, especially in Bengal and Orissa. Lord Chaitanya is always accompanied by his best associates like Lord Nityananda, Advaita, Gadadhar and Shivas. Srila Jiva Goswami cites a verse from the Vedic literature which says that there is no necessity of performing sacrificial demonstrations or ceremonial functions. He comments that instead of engaging in such external pompous exhibitions, all people, regardless of caste, color or creed, can assemble together and chant Hare Krishna to worship Lord Chaitanya. Krishna Varnam Tuisha Krishnam indicates that prominence should be given to the name of Krishna. Lord Chaitanya taught Krishna consciousness and chanted the name of Krishna. Therefore, to worship Lord Chaitanya, everyone should together chant the Maha Mantra, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. To propagate worship in churches, temples or mosques is not possible because people have lost interest in that. But anywhere and everywhere people can chant Hare Krishna. Thus worshiping Lord Chaitanya, they can perform the highest activity and fulfill the highest religious purpose of satisfying the Supreme Lord. Srila Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, a famous disciple of Lord Chaitanya, said, "The principle of transcendental devotional service having been lost, Sri Krishna Chaitanya has appeared to deliver again the process of devotion. He is so kind that he is distributing love of Krishna. Everyone should be attracted more and more to his lotus feet as humming bees are attracted to a lotus flower." Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita ki jai. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Gaur Premanandi.